And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan in with you. So the news has come out that we are losing our symphony orchestra conductor, Matthew Kramer, although it's for a very good reason. Our maestro is moving on to another position. And so what we wanted to do is take a couple of minutes with him and just say congratulations, also kind of figure out his future plans as well. But Matt Kramer's on the phone with me. Matt, first of all, welcome to the program.
That's great to be with you. Bittersweet, of course, but I do appreciate the time.
Right, and congratulations. That'd be my second comment to you. This is fantastic. Tell me a little bit about the decision. Were you looking? Did it just come on your lap? I mean, and let me tell folks, you're moving down to the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra to become their director. So how did this job come about?
That's right. These courtships are always very long in the making, over 2 years. In this case, I was invited down to conduct in New Orleans before COVID. And of course, that engagement got bumped around quite a bit. I went back in October of 21 to conduct a program. And then I guess things went well between the orchestra and I was invited back this past October to conduct what we call a subscription concert, a big classical program. And they had about a week long interview process for me. Lots of questions, lots of people to meet, wanted to know if I'd be interested in the position. And next thing you know, about 2 weeks later, I'm at Disney World with my kids and I get a phone call from their board director offering me the position. So it really is life changing, not only the move down to New Orleans, but this orchestra has a very long history. It's the oldest musician governed, collaboratively operated orchestra in the country. It's got a 36-week season with 72 full-time musicians. So it really is a very big position, very humbling, and I'm honored.
Is this what happens in your world, in the music world? And of course, there's an underlying question of what's going to happen here. I know you're not here to speak on behalf of the Butler County Symphony Orchestra, but in the musical world, is that how this happens? Were you going for the job and it took a couple of years, or you were the guest conductor and this conversation just started to come up?
The latter in this case. Usually with full-time orchestras, they don't have public searches. Their music director, Carlos Miguel Prieto, had been there for 17 years. He's got an international career. And, you know, he was moving on. He took a position with the North Carolina Symphony in Raleigh. So full-time orchestras generally do things behind the scenes, just reaching out to people that they're interested in. But it is much more common in the industry for there to be a public search, for there to be a job announcement. That's how I came to Butler 11 years ago. There was a national announcement. Resumes were sent in. A search committee whittled down resumes. And, you know, eventually you have your finalists that come in very publicly to conduct the orchestra. And the audience usually gets a chance to weigh in as well. The musicians do, of course. So there are two different ways of doing it. I wasn't looking for this job, but I was hearing, you know, from a lot of colleagues that I was being seriously considered for it. So, you know, this is just the way that it works. It takes a very long time to get a conducting position. Like I said, it's quite common for it to be 2 years. So, you know, it's a sense of relief. At the same time, you know, the work is now just beginning.
Talk about being a conductor, if you don't mind, for a moment. I always find it fascinating to watch conductors. I only went through college to that point, not on an expert level, but now being in the audience and watching them from a different viewpoint. I just find it interesting because there are some conductors that are just wildly passionate. You know, the arms are going 100 miles an hour. And then there are some conductors that are just very close to their body. You know, I mean, you see those hands moving, but it's not nearly as wide. What's it like? Why are there different styles? Can you talk about that for a moment?
Yes, it's fascinating. There really is no school to become a conductor. You know, I play the violin. You know, when you play the violin, there are certain things that you have to do in order to produce a good sound. And it's the same for all of the instruments that you study. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the famous examples in history were the composers Gustav Mahler, who was a brilliant conductor as well. And he would jump on the podium. He was flailing all of these, you know, exaggerated gestures like you just mentioned. And then there's Richard Strauss, another brilliant conductor and composer who really barely lifted his fingers in order to elicit this sound from the orchestra. So it really is just about having a clear concept of what you want from the score and getting the best possible results from the musicians. I mean, the famous examples in history also are those tyrannical conductors from 100 years ago. And thankfully, that atmosphere doesn't exist anymore. It's much more collaborative with the musicians. And the work on the podium is really only part of it as well. That's what we went to school to learn, to study music. But then there's the administrative side of things, which you really only learn when you're in the position, how to put programs together, how to raise money, how to work on budgets, how to collaborate with your board and staff, you know, educational outreach, all of those other components are one of the many hats that a music director has to wear. So it's an all-consuming job, really.
What draws you to this kind of work? You've been in music, of course, for quite a long time now. You've been here in Butler for quite a few years. But what draws you to this, to the musical world and to the job of being a director and a maestro?
Well, it's the music first and foremost, and you have to remember that whatever stresses might be, you know, inflicting, you know, anxiety on a particular day, you have to remember that it's really about the music. And you get there on the podium, the very first rehearsal, and then you get a sense of how much work needs to be done over four rehearsals to prepare for the concert, working with the musicians. So there's just a wealth of incredible music. So that's the first thing to mention. But it really is this collaborative process to be an ambassador for your orchestra and your community, to tailor programs and initiatives that specifically enrich and improve, I think, the lives of people, the youth particularly, but certainly patrons for the orchestra, and to be able to work for, you know, this common good. And you know, you can take a sense and look back, as I am now, certainly, after 11 years of Butler, of what we have accomplished. And it was no singular effort by anyone. It was really the entire board, the musicians, all working together to make sure that the orchestra was growing. And I can certainly feel very confident that the orchestra is in a much better place now than it was 11 years ago artistically. I feel like we have full houses. We have an orchestra that's very engaged and plays passionately at a very high level. And we have a community that continues to support this orchestra. And frankly, a very small town for a quality of the orchestra that we have. I think it's absolutely outstanding.
You will be here for the last few concerts. When do you start in Louisiana?
Well, really, I've started already. I mean, the emails are bombarding every day. The season was mostly planned, so I have my concerts allotted for next season. So a lot of the stuff has been done administratively. I've been flying down every few weeks to attend to a few things, but my contract starts July 1st, and my wife and I will be in residence by that point. So it's going to be a big a culture shock for my family to move from our home here in Indianapolis for 8 years now down to New Orleans. But we're looking forward to the challenge, and I'm looking forward to the new position.
And I want to just address that for a moment too. When you just said Indianapolis, probably people thought, wait, are you here? And I didn't even know that for the longest time. So you're not even in Butler. So to be dedicated to the Butler Symphony, I think, is something worth pointing out. You know, thank you for all your dedication, because that was a lot of driving and a lot of dedication to our area. So thank you very much for that. And yes, then you will be moving down to Louisiana and you won't have that drive. But let me ask you a little bit about the Butler Symphony, your time here. I hate to say what your favorite memory, because I'm sure you have plenty that could be in that category. Give me one. What's one of your favorite memories?
You're absolutely right. There are many on the podium with the orchestra, but I think the thing that stands out are the educational initiatives that we've built really over the last 8 years. Patty Stagno, a great friend and former board chair of the orchestra, has been actively involved these many years to get this initiative up and running. And so, you know, it started off 8 years ago with us hauling percussion equipment, chairs and stands into the gymnasiums or cafeterias of the area elementary schools, you know, with an orchestra of about 25 musicians, and playing for what now it really amounts to thousands of kids in Butler County, all the way from the south of the county up to Slippery Rock, Carn City. You know, we've really been everywhere taking orchestral music and introducing, I would say, most of these children to the sounds of violins, trumpets, oboes for the very first time. So the fact that that orchestra is that initiative is thriving, I think, is the thing that I'm most proud of that we've done. In addition to all the great concerts and guest artists that we've had, the fact that you can impact young people's lives, I think, is outstanding.
Now, to say what your favorite memory, what was an accomplishment, is fantastic. What did you enjoy? What's the enjoyment that you'll take with you?
I've enjoyed Butler, to be honest with you. I just find the sense of a community to be palpable, that people take pride in the history of their community and the fact that they have this brilliant orchestra. And that's evident in the fact that they support it. So many of the personal relationships that I built in this position, which is the longest place that I've ever been. And I've lived, you know, five or six different places, worked with six or seven different orchestras. But the fact that I've remained in Butler for 11 years has just as much to do with the community and the people as it does with the orchestra and the music that I've made.
I think any industry, any focus is going to have challenges. I'm going to ask you the same, but just give me one. Like, what was one of the big challenges that you had to overcome?
I think in order to make orchestral music relevant in the 21st century, you have to constantly innovate in ways. I mean, we play music. We play music written by composers from 300 years ago and music that was just written by somebody, you know, a month ago. So the fact that we're trying to compete for people's attention and, you know, their loyalty to, you know, to buy a ticket and to come to a concert, you know, those are constant challenges that every orchestra, I would say any arts organization deals with, to, you know, to prove the relevance, the importance of their art and what it does to impact the community. Not only, you know, the enrichment that we talk about, but the economic input, impact as well. The fact that orchestras do generate economic viability and revenue in their communities. You know, it's always that kind of self-reinvention of trying to figure out how to package things differently so that they can catch people's eyes. That's never going to change. We're all, and I think every business is dealing with that. You know, if you're not innovating, then you're, you know, the atrophy starts to sit in. So I think that's the challenge that I would continue to point to.
And I'm going to ask you what you're going to take with you to your next job. Again, in anyone's journey, you pick up something that you continue to carry forward into your next portion of your journey. What do you think that you're going to take from this time, being that it was so long?
Oh, that the Butler allowed me to grow. I came in, you know, with 11 years of conducting experience as an associate conductor, meaning the number two conductor at the Buffalo Philharmonic, the Virginia Symphony before that. And I was tasked with conducting, you know, those education concerts, the pop concerts, but I had never been a music director before. And so there were a lot of challenges, decisions that I had to make right out of the gate that, you know, were new for me. So the greatest thing that I walk away now with is experience. At 46 years old, I feel like I have a wealth of experience under my belt. And the fact that now I'm going to be leading a full-time orchestra, you know, I feel like I'm much better positioned for that than I would have been 10 years ago. And so that I'm grateful that the Butler County Symphony has allowed me to grow and to find my footing so that I can make decisions with a level head and having the experience of having done many of the things that I'll be doing going forward.
Will you still put your fries on your sandwiches and also eat pierogies? That's the big question, Matt. I mean, that's our concern here in this area. Will you carry it on to Louisiana?
I've never found that anywhere else other than Western Pennsylvania. And so certainly I'm walking into a big foodie area down in New Orleans, but absolutely the impact that Western Pennsylvania, Butler specifically, has left on me will never be forgotten.
That's fantastic. What are you looking forward to? I know it's a new job. It's exciting. A whole new area. What are you looking forward to?
Oh, those challenges, you know, the opportunities and challenges, but particularly the challenges, because I think when we are experiencing difficulty, we find the creativity to come up with solutions. So, you know, my number one mandate as I move into this position is to help that orchestra grow its patron base. Certainly fundraising will be a big part of it. And so that's what I'm looking forward to, is just rolling up my sleeves and getting to work with some really incredible musicians. And this, I think it's one of the most unique cities in the world, frankly. There's no place like it, whether it's the French Quarter or Uptown Garden District. You know, it's really a very fascinating place, and it's going to be a culture shock. The first thing people tell me is to get rid of my winter coats because I'm not going to need them down
That's
there.
True. So That's
we'll
the
see
truth.
What happens.
That's the truth. What advice do you have for the next person who would get your job?
Oh, I would say to just trust the incredible support that you have around you. There's a board that has remained constantly involved and passionate about what they do. And then just to not be afraid to put their own stamp on this orchestra. The orchestra musicians are flexible. They can play anything. And I think that there's an opportunity here for somebody to come in with things in marvelous shape and to really, you know, to imprint their own personal identity on the orchestra, to not be afraid to take chances. The Butler community will follow you, and with the music that is programmed, I think it's an ideal job for anybody.
Well, we hate to see you go, but if you're going to a new job like what you're going to go to in Louisiana, I think that's fantastic. And even though we'll miss you, we're very proud of what you've done here, and we thank you for all that you've done. I just want to ask you your final thoughts, final thanks, if you will, whatever you would like to share before I let you go.
Oh, sure. It really does go to the community first and foremost, because this orchestra is approaching its 75th anniversary, and that doesn't happen by accident. That it would be very easy for, as orchestras have done, to disappear in their communities. But the fact that it's been supported by people who love music and love the impact that this orchestra has, that's first and foremost, to thank the supporters of the orchestra. But then, of course, the musicians who have supported me and have challenged me in every rehearsal to raise the bar higher and higher. You know, now, as I mentioned, we could put anything on their music stands, and that might not have been the case 6 or 7 years ago. But this orchestra, the musicians that make up the orchestra are the backbone, and they're the artists. Every concert, they give 100%, so I want to thank them for sure.
Maestro Matt Kramer, of course, the Butler County Symphony Orchestra conductor for now, but moving on to the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra in New Orleans. And as he's been talking about going back and forth, but he's going to be starting there in September, if you will, because we will have him for the last three shows. So, Matt, it'll be nice to see you in these last three performances, and we do appreciate you sticking around for those, but our best as you continue forward.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the time today.